Well, one of the recurring problems I seem to hear about more and more in society these days is isolation and loneliness. It can be incredibly easy to isolate yourself behind screens. Even our communication often isn't person to person, rather it's from us to a device in our hand that's then sent to another person. It's communication, but it's so much lonelier and more distant than a phone call or a letter. And in our reading today, Jesus hints to us at some of the isolation and the frustrations he's faced. When we think of Jesus, because we're humans and that's how we live our lives, that's the basis from which we go on. When we think of being God and man, it's from a perspective of what it would be like as a man to become God. When we usually think of it, there can only be good things. But that's not the way it was for Jesus. He isn't a person who became God. He's God made man. Philippians 2 does a good job describing this by saying, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in a human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Jesus's becoming man is this incredibly humbling and selfless act on his part. The pinnacle of that being his sacrifice on the cross. That passage from Philippians was written by Paul, but what we get here in the gospel today is Jesus' own description of it. Jesus says, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone." Not that it becomes alone, but that it remains alone. He doesn't come out and say it, but I think this speaks to Jesus' feelings in life, no longer being in heaven with the Father. It makes sense why Jesus is constantly going off to pray. He wants that intimacy he had with God before his life on earth. As much as he may want to live, if he doesn't do this, he'll remain alone. And God will remain alone, because without that death on the cross, you don't have that act that brings forgiveness between us and God, that act that allows us to be with him. The Trinity will still be there, but God will be alone without humanity. It's tough, but Jesus knows what he has to do, and that's die. Jesus follows that up by saying, "But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Jesus has this difficulty of knowing at the same time how difficult, how painful it will be to die and to bear the weight of the whole world's sins, but also knowing what it'll be like for humanity to be forgiven those sins, to once again be capable of a restored relationship with God. Being the Christ isn't an easy thing, and it's not always a pleasure. And Jesus says this clearly, "Now is my soul troubled." He asks rhetorically, "And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour." Jesus is saying how nonsensical it would be to ask the Father to deliver him from this death, because this is the ultimate reason he came. Jesus taught, Jesus healed, he did miracles, but those all stem from his coming to offer himself on the cross, to bring forgiveness, to heal our relationship with the Father. The Greeks ask Philip initially at the beginning to see Jesus. Well, in this, in describing his crucifixion, Jesus is pointing to who he truly is. He's pointing to what his real purpose is here. And Jesus sums it all up with that one short line, that one short prayer, Father, glorify your name. What he's saying is he wants God to show forth his glory, to draw people to him through Jesus and his suffering. It's amazing because it shows what Jesus is going to go through. He's not doing it for selfish reasons at all, the exact opposite. He's doing all of this out of his love for humanity and out of a love for his Father. As he tells us later in John, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus, in this one act, will show the depths of his love for us and our Father. The crucifixion is such a tragic, depressing event, but Christ turns it into this thing of beauty and wonder. It's Jesus' death, but it's a death that brings life. A death that, as he says, bears much fruit. No other death has benefited the world nearly as much as this one. Think about it. The cross used to be a symbol of terror and dread. The Romans used it to strike fear into people. But because of this, it changed completely. What was a symbol of death became a symbol of life. Instead of striking fear, instills us with hope. But Christianity isn't only about this, Christ's death on the cross. Jesus says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. That life of following Jesus should naturally follow from a faith in him. And Jesus, following Jesus isn't something small or just a peripheral part of our lives. It's much more than wearing a pin and paying a membership fee. It should take priority over everything. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor who died in World War II by the Nazis, once wrote, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die." What Christ is calling us to do is to participate in his death with him. As Christians, that should be something we did or started in our baptisms, when we turn to God in faith. In baptism, we participate in Christ's death and resurrection. But that's not a one and done thing. For the rest of our lives as Christians, we should be continually in this process of dying to the world, dying to the sin that's out there, and dying to everything in us that seeks to pull us from God. Even the honors and the delights of the world, the things we'd think we'd want to go for. It wasn't easy for Jesus, and it probably won't be easy for us. But we need to pray like Jesus for God to work through the adversities in our life. As he prays, Father, glorify your name, we need to echo that and respond in prayer, our Father, hallowed be thy name. And that would be depressing if it just ended there, in our dying to self. But as Christians, we have a firm and solid hope in Christ. A hope that what he's saying here is true, that this death will bring fruit and will actually lead to life. One Christian from the Eastern Church years ago described this by saying, if you die before you die, you won't die when you die. Let me say that again. If you die before you die, you won't die when you die. If we in faith turn to Christ, if we participate in his death, then in our deaths, we will also participate in his resurrection. But again, this resurrection is more than just coming back to life. It's not a resuscitation. It's a vanquishing of death. Again, Jesus says, and where I am, there will my servant be also. In going through all of these wondrous things, it can be easy to pass over that line But like everything else, it's vital. This isn't just a resurrection to go back to where we were before. This is a vehicle to bring us before God. It's not that we go to heaven that has all of our favorite food and all those books and movies we like. It's that we accompany Jesus to be with him and the Father. Being there and seeing God face to face, there's nothing more that we could want. That's the reason Jesus goes through all these sufferings. And if we could see it, we'd feel the exact same way. As Paul writes in his epistle to the Romans, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." So this gospel passage today is one we need to keep etched in our minds and in our hearts, especially as we go into this next week, Holy Week. Take the copy that we have of our readings with you and read it throughout that time. The coming week after this coming one could get bleak, thinking about Christ's death, especially thinking about what his absence in our life would be like. But these words from Jesus himself remind us that he went into this knowingly and willingly. He knew the pain this would bring him, but he also knew the pain that it would free us from. And he made this sacrifice for us, to form a bridge between the Father and us, to bring us into the relationship with the Father that he has, to really enable us to become children of God. This is what he came here for. So none of this ends with a death alone. It's a death that bears much fruit. And we need to accompany him in this. He bids us come and die that we may have life in him. So in the coming weeks, as we hear about the passion, as we meditate on Christ's death, and in all those other times in our life when we're scared or alone or don't know where to turn to, remember what Christ was able to bring out of his sufferings. Think about what he can bring out of ours, and know that we can have hope in him. Amen.